Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
HD Smartcast.
You are listening to an HD Smartcast original.
Don't you always want to hear it right from the horse's mouth? I certainly do. I want the best and the brightest minds in the industry to tell me about it. Yeah, Tell Me About It is my latest podcast. Since I come across so many interesting people in the industry, some of my favorite students, they ask me if I can speak to some really intelligent and well-known people on hot and trending topics, you know, like content, influencers, health, branding, entrepreneurship, and more. Who am I to quiz the best and brightest, you ask? Well, I am Siddharth Deshmukh, also known as the Traveling Professor. Maybe you've heard me before somewhere. Yeah, I teach across various institutes. Join me and new experts every week over two parts where we dissect these topics and try to make sense of them. Hopefully, learn something about it when they tell me about it. This podcast is an HT Smartcast original and is available on htsmartcast.com, India's fastest growing podcast producing platform. All right. So now coming back. Sorry for that, folks. Actually, let's ask Ayushi this question, right? Because I need her to speak. She used to speak so much to me. I'm missing her voice in this conversation for the past few minutes. So let's go for it.
So for me, it's worked out very differently from Ayushi, because Instagram influencers have a very direct relationship with brands and money, right? Huh. It's very product driven. For me, it's been different in the sense that because of the LinkedIn journey, my current job opportunity is something that I got through LinkedIn. While this was happening, I worked on a couple of life projects, which again happened through LinkedIn. Yeah. I started mentoring and working with students, two organizations through LinkedIn. LinkedIn did not give me money, but it gave me opportunity, which really helped me get a lot of money by working on other things, right? And it makes sense, right? Because it's a professional community at the end of the day.
Correct.
So, I see a lot of people doing these very wannabe posts on LinkedIn, right? Because you feel you deserve to have an opinion on everything from Zomato strategy to a startup's expansion plan to a trending marketing post. And sometimes I'll also post that. No. But your content is worth nothing if you cannot tie it back into your personal brand or deliver on the work that you get from your LinkedIn account. So that's absolutely important. When you asked if I would look at being an influencer full time, I would not. Because there's so much to learn and so much to do. And to me, this is a very small part of my life. However, being an influencer can really blow up a lot of opportunities for you. Because I was so active on Quora in the literature sphere, I joined something called Broke Bibliophiles a few months before I came to Mica, you know. And it's today is Mumbai's largest reading community, which has over 5,000 members. I run that community. Wow. There is no publishing event that I don't get recommended to. Books come to my house to read and review. I am I've hosted events with everyone from like a Lisa Ray to a Amita Mahale and a bunch of best-selling authors. this is non-monetary. I don't take money from people to participate in bibliophiles, nor do I earn. The maximum that I've got out of it is books, and the maximum that I've given to people out of it is books. But the sheer impact that it has on reputation and is fabulous. So I'm starting off a literature podcast very soon, and I'm just in the stage of recording my first season. I have 10 authors, ranging everyone from a Harvard professor to India's top journalists, who, without wanting to know anything, just on the basis of Broke Bibliophiles, recorded their episodes with me.
So what I'm hearing from you is that there are many ways in which influencers can shape their careers, and influencer marketing is just one of them.
True.
Yeah. And you're choosing not to go down that path. You're trying to look at how you can have maximum impact rather than actually trade in all the chips that you've gained as an influencer, whether, you know, anywhere, right? All the stuff that you're talking to me about, what you're trying to do with this bibliophile, you said?
Right? It's called Broke Bibliophiles.
Okay, Broke Bibliophiles. Okay, so yeah, well, there you go. I can understand. But it's a very interesting way in which you can look at, let's say, influencers and the way in which you can shape their careers. But you said something really interesting, and that brings me to the heart of the topic. And I want to get to that and ask you the question, and Arushi her take on it too. The heart of the question that I have is, everybody and their uncle is trying to figure out how to talk on LinkedIn or how to talk on Instagram and all of that, right? So I'm trying to actually find out from you, okay. How do you think about that? Should people be doing that? Should people be building their personal brands, all of them, okay, including the painful introverts or people who can't do anything or whatever? So what do you feel is the right strategy for an average Joe to do? I'll ask the same question to Arushi as well, because these media themselves are different, so I want to have a nuanced perspective on it.
I'll break this down into a few things.
Sure.
I think you can truly only be an influencer if you have absolute mass appeal, the way, say, Arushi talks about altruism or food or fashion, or when you have extremely niche appeal, like heavy highbrow literature, for instance, in my case, or early careers on LinkedIn. I don't give generic, like, all my content around is helping people in their early 20s do better. I am not here to teach 40-year-olds, how to hire, for instance.
Correct.
So you need to be knowing on a spectrum what you're talking about. That's the first. Secondly, I think everyone should talk on social media channels, your life, your business. But it's also very perceptible when you're putting on a show and being performative versus being who you truly are. And you know that, Professor, I think as somebody who's on multiple channels himself, that it's who you are. It's not that a brand Sid Deshmukh changes on his Traveling Professor podcast and between his LinkedIn, right?
Yeah.
But then suddenly these people who will put a Black Lives Matter post on LinkedIn and have a blackface image on their Facebook from 8 years ago, it doesn't work that way. And your strengths play to the platform that you're on, right? So I could never be on TikTok, for instance. So there is that. So can everybody be an influencer? No, because it's a game of probabilities. There'll be so many and someone will come up on top.
Yeah.
Everyone should write. I think it's wonderful that, or write or create or whatever. It's at best inspiring to someone, at worst, unwinding for yourself, right? So I don't think there's a problem with anyone creating content. But to try too hard on social media is as laughable as trying too hard in real life, which people don't realize, because we spend so much of our lives on social that we now instinctively know when it's real, when it's not.
But just before I get to Arushi, so do you think that people should not be building personal brands?
Of course they should. But can I, for instance, talk about fitness on Instagram? Obviously not, because I'm very lazy. It doesn't fit who I am. But if I were to take a loose fat challenge and make it into a thing on Instagram, I could, right? So if you're absolutely, why does anyone want to be an influencer? Right? One is a very shallow motive, oh, I'll make money or I'll have vanity. But the second is that you are just somebody who wants to make the best of the time that they're spending online. Mm-hmm. That's also the case, right? So everyone is welcome to try their own voice. Maybe you will connect with 500 people, but you will be doing them a service or doing yourself a service. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter that, so you could have a group of 500 people who discuss chess and you're a high intensity influencer there, as opposed to somebody who talks about golf to 3 million people. So right. Everyone has their own thing, and I think everyone should have a voice.
Sure. Yes. That is still a... sorry, Arushi, I'm going to ask you to wait for a minute more. I'm just trying to get down to the bottom of this, right? Do you think that building a personal brand can be a distraction for a lot of people? Because you've been told to build your personal brand. Do you think that it can be, especially to introverts who don't know how to, you know, be social or whatever, or just people who are lousy at it and who might be good at somewhere else, or who might end up being good if they spend those 10,000 hours somewhere else, you know? So I just wanted to know your take on it, or do you think it's a necessary evil? Everyone has to have some kind of personal brand.
You know, I think unknown to all of us, we all have personal brands in life, even though we don't try. You know, you meet someone, you know, this person is a slacker. Or for instance, when you introduced me, you said there's a mix of sincerity and not taking herself too seriously. That's a brand, right? You yeah. haven't, it, even if I never posted a single article on LinkedIn and you had just taught me, you would know that about me as a brand. And 100%. People who read my articles and posts on LinkedIn, the constant feedback I get is that your posts are quirkily insightful, right? So that's what it is at the end of the day. It's you, if your personal brand in life is being an introvert, you could become a Susan Cain and a TED sensation, or you could just hide in your bedroom. It's what you've chosen to do with your life. And nothing wrong either ways.
No, I get it. I get it. Okay. Well, thank you so much. Arushi, what do you think? Now let's hear the exact opposite view.
No, so this time I think I am agreeing with Mona on a few parts. Like certainly the first one is that, like she said, that you should know who you are and what you want to talk about. So obviously, like even if there are platforms and you're being platform specific, you should know what you are talking about. For the very first thing, like even when I talk on Instagram, I have chosen certain things which I'm talking about, which people can relate to. And when it's on LinkedIn, I'm keeping the context safe, like what the context is about, and then I'll speak accordingly. So yeah, I agree on this part of hers that, yeah, you should know who you are. And you, it's like everyone has a brand. Like even in marketing, we have thought we all have personas, every person has a persona. So that's true. Like we all are having it on in our lives. It's okay if we don't post it on social media, but if it's okay if you want to. But what I want to make clear is don't have those desperate attempts. So as you said earlier, that most of these every Joel are trying to become that influencer. So you know, like you may know about some things. So whether it be anyone, they have a certain kind of interest. So you know, like all these influencers also, be it Mona, like she has this interest in literature. I have this interest in fashion. If it's there, someone else, like you are a traveling professor. You love to travel. You have this interest in marketing, right?
Yes.
So you know, all of us have certain interests, and we can certainly speak about it, and we will know more about those certain domains than other people. Like Mona will know about literature more than anyone else. Like every other 15 people in the room, she'll know about it more. So yeah, you can tell it to the people and they can learn from it. So in those ways, you can have an opinion and you can have a voice. So for that, you should know what you're speaking about.
Let me just probe a little deeper here. Now, imagine that an average Joe or Joella had about 8 hours of time. Okay. Mm-hmm. How many hours should that person in 8 hours of time, or I'm trying to understand, like 10 hours of time, you can take whatever. How many hours should that person be trying to build a personal brand?
So it's most of the time it should not be a desperate attempt that you have to build a personal brand and you should dedicate these many amount of hours for it. Sometimes, like you said, that there's a certain point when you realize that something is working for you. So for example, I was just seeing this one person on Instagram. He has started reading books because he was very free during COVID and it started working for him. So he has started putting it on Quora, on Instagram, he has started making videos. But there's a certain limit to it. Like if he'll do more and he'll keep on making this his whole life, then it will be a problem. But you can obviously have an opinion because you have a certain interest and you can make it something. And I want to like just have another plugin, which Mona said, that most of these people have these personal intentions and you should be known more than your industry or where you work. You should be known more. So, for example, there's this relative of mine who is the like ICSI president right now. But most of the people know him because he's an ICSI president and not on the bigger picture. So, people like those should maybe have a personal brand where they have certain other opinions also, and where they speak more on the front that on their learnings. So, for you to have your personal brand, I think you should have know your learnings and then tell people. Like, okay, this is my interest. This is
I must stop you there, right? A person who is so driven by metrics, okay? Yeah. And who's given me numbers and all of that. You have not given a number here. I asked you, out of 10 hours, how many hours would you... And you're saying it's impossible to define, right? That's what I understand your answer.
I think it depends a lot from person to person, you know? Like, you can't just have a mantra to it. Like, being an influencer, I will have a certain... like. You must have seen in these 10 to 15 minutes of speaking, Ayushi Mona has a certainly different mantra to what I have. So, you know, you don't know what will work for you to become an influencer. But you should have this self-realization that you are not making desperate efforts to be one. Yeah. You can obviously speak about it. You can speak about what your interests are and make a difference, make an impact. But don't just have desperate attempts. So it is like a journey. It is this here. To have a personal brand on your own, it is like a journey. Like time to time, you learn, you'll fail, you'll get the context, you'll get the numbers. So for example, earlier I must have been getting 80,000 impressions on a post. Right now, if I write about something else, I'm just getting 100 likes. It can happen, right? It's not like anyone can. It just shifts. It keep on shifting. You have to be in trend. You have to align that with your interest and then speak about it. So a Joe, whatever, can be a personal brand. But for him to be that, he should have certain parameters and certain context to what is going on right now.
Now you want to say something, Ayushi?
I actually, in the 10 hours in a day, I started writing on LinkedIn during the time I used to commute. So I spent 15 minutes a day. And this is so
interesting. Now, you're the person who said that she doesn't look at bloody metrics. And here you are giving me a very nice metric-y answer.
So the metric is not for the channel. The metric is for my own life. I have work and I have to read and I have to do, my other projects. This is what I can afford. Also depends on your audience size. If I have a small audience size, I don't need to invest in time to pander on them. I spent one Sunday a month talking to people in the community, hosting events for them earlier till now, virtually. And that time is great for me because every single person who attends the meet is meeting on, and that person goes up to such a connection on my virtual profile who are real life. I use my time accordingly, so 15 minutes a day maybe. But 3 hours a month and there is a very clear, different purpose.
Okay. All right. So I think your metrics are more to do with how you're spending your life rather than what it would do to have that impact. So you're not actually focused on something external is what I'm hearing. Okay. Now here come the googlies, right? I promised you a couple of googlies, so I'm going to give you those googlies right now. And you probably have a head start on this, Ayushi, because you've done this actually even before the Googly happened to you. But I'm going to ask this in any case. Maybe to Arushi first and Ayushi later. What if Instagram, like we've all seen TikTok suddenly being shut down?
Mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah. So
anybody who's a TikTok star, they're kind of basically going to have a tough time.
Mm-hmm.
What if Instagram stops tomorrow? Okay. What will your response be as somebody who's an influencer on Instagram? And Ayushi, you can pick your poison and tell me what you'll do if maybe say a LinkedIn, because you said that you've taken a lot of stuff off Quora or something. Maybe you can explain that philosophy as well when we come to you. Yeah.
Yeah. So I think most of the TikTok influencers right now are trying and exploring different platforms. Like mostly it depends a lot on your talent also, like, because these TikTok influencers by now they have this hang of it. So TikTok was a medium where you have to post this 15 second of videos. So now they have this hang of it, how to do it on any other channel, any other platform. They know what they have learned and they know how to create an audience out of it. So now as like TikTok has shifted from like there's Reel, there's Raposo, there are 100 other platforms which are trying to make an upper edge over other platforms. So what I want to say is these TikTok influencers will not only shift to these platforms, but will have like this, there's this curve, no, that which you speak about. So they'll be the early adopters and they'll make an impact earlier than the other people, because all the other people will try to get a hang of it. All the other people will try to make those 15 second videos, try that it gets some likes and all, or something like that.
But that's a very interesting answer, Arushi. But what you're saying, if I get you right, what you're saying is that you have enough practice as a TikTok star in order for you to become great on Instagram quickly. You've also built your community, which can be transported. So is that right?
Yes. So mostly, be it any platform, most of the people subconsciously end up making our own community. There will always be people who will be there. So even if I talk about me, there are my 15 friends who will, even if I do something else today, I make a political agenda also, they'll stand with me. So in a way, these Joe Rogan, they have this 15 people community everywhere. So be it any platform. So what I want to say is, like, even if Instagram shuts down tomorrow and I have to shift to other platforms, be it LinkedIn or there's this other alternative of Instagram, I will have these 70,000 followers in that. There will be 10% people who will come there as well, because now they know who I am. Now they know what I do. And they are like, they relate to me. That is the reason why they follow me. So
It's
like a platform plus community plus your relatability kind of a thing.
Interesting. Ayushi, now diametrically opposite for you.
So for me, I'll actually start with why I left Quora. So platforms either are killed the way say TikTok was, or they die a natural death, or they start stagnating. And post, I think 2015 was when I was a top writer for the second time round. And the platform went into this stage of decay because they couldn't really manage scale very well, right? In terms of quality of content. And I thought to have, sometimes having great quality content on a poor platform reflects badly on the quality of content, you know? And hence you will see people on Reddit or Twitter laugh about TikTokers or LinkedIn folks because they think they're a cut above, which is why I chose to move away from the platform. And they were very kind and they gave me all my content. So I have a repository of 7 years. But for instance, LinkedIn were to shut down, I think it would be a little difficult, huh, to find a replacement the way it's slightly easier for TikTok, right? I can go from TikTok to Instagram Reels. I can't imitate the world's largest professional community of 60 million people. There's nowhere on earth a parallel website that has so many white-collar professionals and such an advanced recruiter talent solution sort of ecosystem, right? So it would be difficult, and I actually wouldn't even try to imitate my content. I would just move on and do something else.
Right. Is it because you've not particularly seen in being an influencer as the be all and end all, but as part of what you do in life?
I guess.
Yeah. Maybe that might be part of the puzzle here. Okay, so first googly up, second googly down your throat, both of you. Here is, what would you like to see as a different thing on your favorite medium of choice? Because as influencers, you have
the ability to use and look at any platform differently, right? So the way in which Arushi sees an Instagram, for example, not many people actually are able to decode the way in which the Instagram algorithm is. And so it is for you, whether you can say it explicitly or not. Now, I'm trying to understand what would express you as a better creator, either on LinkedIn or Instagram or wherever you want to be in the future. Any one of you.
Arushi? Mona? Okay, I'll go first. I think LinkedIn is not built for content. Huh? I can't discover my old content. I can go to my activity, see my posts. It's always chronological. I can't filter. So it's actually a bad platform for content creation, which is why most content creators on LinkedIn fall into the category of people, you know, dying to get a job and hence writing content just to build up visibility. Or people who couldn't care less and they just want to put a WhatsApp forward there and get a few likes. It's not the best platform for mature and sophisticated content creators because it's not built for it. And perhaps they would want to actually relook at the way they do content and move from being move from just being a place where people looking for jobs put content as opposed to professional content.
Right. So yeah, no, I agree with you on that observation. I think it's a very clunky. But it's less clunky today than what it was maybe 5 years back. But I agree with you. What about Arushi? What do you think?
So, like, I have this point on LinkedIn. So, there's this recent app which discovered. It's called Blue Tie. Okay. So, what they are doing there is it's just related to giving job opportunities. So, you know, on LinkedIn, earlier people started because they wanted to have job opportunities. But later on, they started writing content and make this professional community and all. So, there's this app specific to just getting job opportunities. You just can connect to the individual directly. People write, I'm looking for a job opportunity. There are HRs who write, I'm looking for so-and-so people. They connect on this and it's very objective-driven networking. So what maybe can happen in LinkedIn is there can be a certain place or a certain portal for where there's just objective-driven happening and the job opportunity part is happening. So I totally know that there's this LinkedIn jobs right now, but this doesn't fulfill the purpose in times of COVID because people keep on writing, I am this, I lost the job and this is happening. And there are people who make on people like commenting on the post, write interested if you want a job. But it's more like engagement point of view and not actually the object-driven happening is happening. So maybe LinkedIn can have a specific thing where only this part happens and a lot of clutter will just go. And secondly, what my point related to Instagram is we are all stuck in a content clutter right now. There's so much, like everyone has this point of view, like in the starting, as you said, everyone has a point of view. Everyone wants to post. Everyone is someone in on Instagram because there are a lot of mediums to post. There's Reel now, there's IGTV, there's Story. People keep on just bombarding the feed right now. So maybe Instagram can have is if suppose there are brand collaborations happening or there is this brand which is trying to contact an influencer who's posting about 100 other stuffs and by the end of the day you don't even remember that person posted about Nike or Adidas, right? So that is also another brand dilution which is happening. So maybe to fulfill these two points there could be a certain feature where you can know, like, where you can filter out that what you want from the brand point of view and what you want from an influencer point of view and what you want from a general point of view, like or all the people who want to post about their lives, there can be a segregation which can be there to sort things and to make it better for everyone who's there on the platform.
Right. Thanks. Okay. By the way, you guys have entertained me and I hopefully have made sure that you entertain yourselves for the past hour. I don't know how the hell time has gone in spite of all the interruptions and the rest of it. I do have one question, right? One question before I let you off the hook. And the question, both of you, right? If there's one tip of the trade that you have to give to any person who is trying to build a stronger brand on LinkedIn or Instagram or whatever, what would that one tip be from both of you? Any tip?
Okay.
So I'm major strategy and all, just one small tip.
I would just like to give this tip that be focused. If you are actually trying to build a brand, be focused in what you want to be and what you want to pitch yourself as. if you are...
Well, I appreciate that, Arushi. That's still a little strategic.
Okay.
Chota wala tip ki ye lighting achhi honi chahiye. So something like that, you know.
So, I would like to say that test it out.
Wow, that was a good one, right? More of where that came from soon. Want to reach out to me? I'm Siddharth Deshmukh and I'm the traveling professor on Instagram. You'll find the funny side of me there. And on LinkedIn, I'm a little bit more serious, but I'm still the traveling professor. To give us feedback, you can reach out to us on HT Smartcast. We are present on Facebook, Instagram, LinkedIn, Twitter, and YouTube, the usual suspects. To listen to more podcasts, log on to htsmartcast.com or suno naye nazariye se. And join me in the journey. Onward ho!
This was an HT Smartcast original.
HT Smartcast.
I'm Annie Apple, and I'm here to invite you to come and listen to my new podcast series, Raising a Pro. It's the most intimate sports-related conversations you will hear. Each week, we explore the journeys of some of your favorite NFL players through the eyes of those that know them best. From Joe Burrow, DeAndre Hopkins, Myles Garrett, Ezekiel Elliott, Nick and Joey Bosa, just to name a few. With exclusive insights and information, we leave no stone unturned. Subscribe now to Raising a Pro on your favorite podcast app.
Earning your degree online doesn't mean you have to go about it alone. At Capella University, we're here to support you when you're ready. From enrollment counselors who get to know you and your goals, to academic coaches who can help you form a plan to stay on track, we care about your success and are dedicated to helping you pursue your goals. Going back to school is a big step, but having support at every step of your academic journey can make a big difference. Imagine your future differently at capella.edu.